Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineers and produces our show, and together we give you a big welcome to the Buckmaster program. It's Tuesday, the 20th of July, 2021. This is the 52nd anniversary of the first moonwalk. Thought we would be walking on Mars by now when I look back 52 years ago. But we are making some progress. Everybody saw what happened today with Mr. Bezos. So things are happening, outer space. Buckmaster, in our 11th year, on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's go now on the live line to the executive director for Literacy Connects. His name is Matthew Tarver Wahlquist, and he is with us on the phone. Matthew, how are you today?
Very good, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to talk a little bit about literacy. We have a real issue in this community, don't we, with people who really, for want of a better, for better words, don't know how to read and write.
Very much so, and it's, you know, it doesn't depend on age. We're having that issue both in our schools and in our adult community, and that's one of the reasons Literacy Connects was founded 10 years ago, is to address that in our community.
This is the 10th anniversary. Literacy Connects, 10 years old this month. It was really, I guess, several literacy groups came together to under the umbrella of Literacy Connects. Is that correct, Matt?
That's right. There was a regional town hall here hosted by the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona that recognized that literacy levels are the most important thing in a healthy community, a prosperous economy. And there were a number of small literacy organizations around town, and they decided that if those organizations joined forces, they would have a greater impact. And that created Literacy Connect. So now we are one organization that serves people at all ages through a whole variety of programs.
What kind of a footprint do you have? How many people are you serving? What type of programs? And perhaps a profile of some of the people who come to you.
Sure. Well, we touch around, you know, in your typical year — this hasn't been a typical year, of course — but in your typical year, we touch over 50,000 people in the Tucson community. And we do that in a whole number of ways. For people in early childhood, we partner with pediatric clinics to help distribute books to families when they come to their well visits and to teach them about reading to their child. We also work with over 30 Title I schools that are on free or reduced lunch programs, to provide very well-trained reading coaches for children in kindergarten through second grade who need help with their reading. And we partner with schools also with arts programs. We have an arts program called Stories That Soar, where children from all over town submit thousands of stories into a creature called the Magic Box that eats stories. And we have a professional team of actors that brings those stories to life in live performances, or during COVID, in films. And we have a youth center that provides a performing arts camp for students. And in the adult community, we provide adult basic literacy and GED prep, both in English and in Spanish. And we also have a large English language acquisition program where we help people who are struggling with their English to learn English at a number of different levels, from beginner to advanced. So we kind of hit the whole spectrum of life, and all told, that at this point touches around 50,000 people.
It's a real stigma, isn't it, for adults who maybe have been masking the fact that they can't read or write?
Yeah, absolutely. It's people, and so oftentimes people don't reach out for help. And I think one of the strengths of our program is that, you know, it's a very unthreatening environment. It's strengths-based. So it's not about, here is how you read, you have to do this and convert this into this. It's really about, what are you interested in? What do you like? What do you want to do? And then our curriculum is built around the individual and what they want to achieve, so they can really see a direct connection between what they're learning and how that can impact them in life. And that's the same case for you know, the kids that we work with. It's not necessarily about teaching children to read. You know, teachers teach children to read, but what we do is we help kids learn to love to read and learn to be engaged in reading. So it's not telling them what to do. It's saying, what are you interested in? And then going with that and helping to explore their interests and helping people discover what reading can do for you, and that it's not this scary thing. It's actually something that really opens up a whole lot of possibilities.
We have so many young people who drop out of high school. It's a really epidemic in the Tucson area. These are people that I'm sure have problems with their reading and their writing, correct, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what can be done to help them?
Well, it takes, like so many things in our community, it takes partnerships. Because if someone is dropping out of high school and maybe they haven't gone through all the curriculum they need to, or they haven't built the skills they need to, there are usually all sorts of factors that play into that. Factors about the conditions in which they grew up, the economy that they're in, maybe historical factors and discrimination based upon, you know, the groups that they identify as or associate with. So one of the things that Literacy Connect does is, you know, we have our role to play in empowering people in our community through skill acquisition and to kind of opening up opportunities to people through literacy and through creative expression, while we're also really trying to partner with other organizations like the International Rescue Committee that works with refugees and other community organizations around town so that we can really all together collectively create a bigger impact for our community.
And it must be very difficult for Spanish speakers who are fluent, of course, in their native language and are able to write with a high proficiency, but then to function, Matt, in our community is a different story, correct?
Yeah, it's frustrating and it can be scary. I think that's a really important thing that we do is working with individuals in learning English. You often will have someone who maybe has lived here for quite a while but hasn't really picked up English, and maybe within their own community they're mostly speaking Spanish, but they're raising kids here and the kids speak English, and now the kids have their homework in English and the parents want to help their kids with homework, and suddenly they're feeling frustrated about that. And so, you know, they come to us and we help them work that through.
We're speaking with Matthew Tarver Wahlquist, and Matthew, Matt took over. He's the new, well, not new really that new anymore. You took over on December the 1st. Betty Stauffer had been there, 10 years? So she was kind of a very well-known figure in our community. You come to the Tucson area. You were the executive director and the chief executive officer of the ARC in San Francisco, which was a nonprofit, or is a nonprofit, serving over 700 individuals with developmental disabilities. But I guess reading and literacy has been kind of a lifelong passion for you, Matt. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Why did you want this Tucson opportunity?
Yeah, well, first of all, just personally, you know, apart from, you know, my family, my wife and my two kids, reading is, you know, I would say the most important thing in my life. I've always loved reading. I met my wife over a mutual love of Russian literature, and it's just given me so much in my life, and it's been the greatest amount of enjoyment and fulfillment that I've gotten in life. And when I moved back to Tucson, I was in San Francisco for about 20 years, but I grew up here in Tucson. I was really excited for looking at another mission at a nonprofit here that I could be excited about. And when I saw the opportunity to work with literacy, I thought it would be a really good fit. And I got to know Betty, our founding executive director, and got to see what dynamic, healthy, and vibrant organization Literacy Connects was. So I went for the job, and, you know, spoiler alert, I got the job. And I've been there for, like you said, Bill, I've been there for about 7 months now, and it's been great. You know, it's interesting taking over a job like that during the pandemic. So I met everyone on Zoom, and now things are opening up. Let's see it. Let's hope they stay that way. I heard in your news report at the beginning that, you know, the Delta variant is causing a lot of concerns, but we're getting back to some version of normal right now. But it's a real pleasure to be in the Tucson community and to see it as an adult and see what a great nonprofit community there is here, Bill. There are a lot of people doing a lot of really high level work to address, you know, so many challenges that we're facing.
Well, welcome home, Matt. I didn't realize that you had the Tucson connection to this area. Thank you, and all the best to you. What about more information about Literacy Connects?
Well, the best place to go would be our website, which is literacyconnects.org. Note it's connects plural with an S on the end. And there you can see information about our 10-year anniversary. You can see information about how to support us and donate to us. We really do rely on support from our community, and information on how to volunteer for us. You know, we use 1,500 volunteers in a given year, and, you know, they go through a very rigorous and professional training to become reading coaches and teachers. So if you're interested in that, please go to our website, and you can find ways to contact me on the website as well, and I'm happy to talk to anyone who'd like to learn more.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure.
Matthew Tarver Wahlquist, who is the executive director of the Tucson-based Literacy Connects. Shelley Fishman with me in studio, and I've got a big thumbs up from Shell today. Now, if Shell was here 24 hours ago, it would have been a really big thumbs down. Such are the ways of the street, as they say. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is. We welcome Shelley Fishman back to the Buckmaster Show microphones. Hey, Shell, how are you?
I am better today than I was yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of, I think our old, I don't know about a friend, but the word volatility has crept back into the market in a big way. Yesterday was a big drop, over 700 points, and today making up most of that.
Making up almost all of it, Bill. So what caused yesterday's problem? The pundits will tell you that it was fear about the recovery being slowed down or maybe even reversed by the COVID-19 Delta variant, and that causing people to need to reinstitute constraints on people gathering in public places, wearing masks, et cetera. But, you know, and you and I have talked about this from week to week to week to week to week. This market was overbought. It still is overbought, where we have a year's worth of growth in 6 months. And we started off a little bit overbought. So from historical norms in terms of price to earnings ratios, the market is very, very high right now. And so anything that can spook it a little bit will you know, cause these kinds of spikes. And because the number, the raw number we're dealing with, 34,000 on the Dow, is so much higher than what you and I grew up with, that when you have a 700 point day, you know, that sounds like a catastrophe. But it's
sure
only
is.
You know, 1.5 points.
Yeah.
So the numbers are just bigger. And when you grew up, you know, when the Dow was in the, you know, the area of 11,000, 12,000, 13,000, you know, a 700-point drop in a day was a catastrophe. That's a correction. Today, it's, you know, just a blip.
There is talk of a correction.
There's always talk of a correction. I mean, there
and a correction, by the way, is 10% at least.
That's the technical term for it. But markets will correct. We don't know what's going to spook them into correcting, and when they do. However, we do know that markets will correct. They never have not corrected. We've had long periods of time, sometimes years even, when they've, you know, climbed up and up and up, but then we will see a correction, and then the correction bottoms out, and we start growing again. If you're fearful of a correction and you're fearful that that correction might happen in the near term rather than in the long term, there are strategies you can discuss with your advisor as to how to be able to
sleep at night.
Well, take advantage of that kind of correction.
Right.
And that really entails making sure you have some cash sitting on the sidelines that you can quickly convert if you need to do some bottom fishing.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
That's for sure. But at the same time, that gets perilously close to trying to target the market.
Market timing,
I'm sorry.
Which you're not a big fan of.
Well, you can't do it successfully. Yeah. Not for any length of time. You can, you know, hit it good once or twice. But timing the market is a fool's errand. However, if we've been climbing as we have now for a very long time and you feel this market is going to correct, then it's not a bad strategy to keep some amount of cash on the side. And then when you think, not necessarily that we're at the bottom, but when you think that we've had a couple of bad days in a row, you know, do some bottom fishing.
Mm-hmm. Don't keep it in the mattress, under the mattress.
Though. That's for sure. Now keep it with your broker, earning at least, 1% interest.
You know, I can certainly understand what happened yesterday, because there is a lot of concern about this Delta variant, the COVID Delta variant, which is now 84% of all new cases in the United States. And when you hear 90 million Americans have decided, for whatever reason, so far, not these are 90 million Americans who would be eligible for a shot,
right,
have decided, for whatever reason, not to get the shot. So, of course, there would be nervousness in the business world that it is going to slow down the recovery.
Well, we've got a couple of things going on. The vaccination hesitancy, as people are calling it, is being promoted by some news organizations and some individuals in a political way. Mm-hmm. And that's causing people to raise, certain questions about the safety of the vaccine. And quite frankly, there are some people who probably should have some concerns, people who are immunosuppressed and mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Sure.
But for the most part, the statistics on the vaccine are irrefutable. Mm-hmm. The vaccine will, even if it causes you a little bit of discomfort for a day or two, it is going to save you from getting a bad case of COVID-19, save you from going to the hospital. But, as importantly, Bill, it is going to save you from infecting somebody else. And that is very important. I don't know how you would feel about knowing that you infected somebody
who
then got very sick and died.
No,
does that make you a murderer?
I mean, it's horrible.
No, but it makes you somehow complicit.
Yeah.
And that's the piece that I don't get. Mm-hmm. So the political motivations of talking about not getting vaccines are, as far as I'm concerned, unforgivable. The same way the political motivations about talking about inflation when we know that hasn't happened in 40 years, and there's significant doubt that the inflation we're seeing today is endemic, but rather just temporary. But people, for political reasons, are just want to make this administration look bad. And so that's causing fears. Inflation fear can feed on itself. Vaccine hesitancy can feed on itself. Those things take a life, kind of have a life of their own. And so it's not helping anybody, and it could potentially be hurting a lot of people.
Just had a comment from a listener. Shelley, you can make a quick comment that Biden has gone too far on the spending, this listener is worried about inflation.
Well, I think that having a significant concern, a reasonable concern about inflation is something that the Fed needs to keep their eyes on, that the economists need to keep their eyes on. But if you take a look at history and you take a look at where we've been and what could have been predictable in a recovery, it doesn't seem to me that Biden has gone far enough. And what we see, Larry Summers was on Smirconish on Saturday, I guess, Saturday morning. And he talked about this balance between supply and demand. And what he said was, you can provide all of the financial stimulus you want, so long as you are also creating supply. So when supply and demand come into balance, then you don't get inflation. It's only when demand outstrips supply. So what he's saying is, with, for instance, a spending plan that takes the infrastructure and other things like the infrastructure and creates more supply, then you create a balance. Now, Larry Summers has been kind of an outlier on the left of things for a long time, but he made sense. What he says is, you got to be careful how you spend it, so that you're spending it in such a way that you are increasing the supply of stuff. And if you do that, then there is not an inflationary pressure on the economy. If, on the other hand, you're just throwing money around, creating demand in a period of scarcity, then you've got a problem.
economic recovery is still on track, shall
we? Absolutely. It's on track.
To exceed?
Exceed 6% this year, probably exceed 3.5% next year. 2023 is still a question, an open question. But as we discussed last week, if we get an infrastructure spending plan that does what Larry Summers says, creates supply, creates more stuff in the economy, then we don't have to worry about it. The economy will stay at around 2%, and inflation will stay at around 2%.
All right, Shelley Fishman, we will look forward to your visit with us next Tuesday, a week from now, at about 12:15 or about 12:20. Shelley, thanks. Hope you have a good rest of the week. And you got really, really a big rain about 2:30 in the morning, right?
Right, and a tree that fell as a result of it.
Oh, no. Damaging your grapefruit tree. Hopefully it is salvageable.
I hope so, too.
All right, have a great week, Shelley. Thanks.
You too, Bill.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We are so proud that they have the naming rights to the Buckmaster Show here in the studios of KVOI. Speaking of green things, the collective sigh from all the green things over at 3384 East River Road. They were all praying for a wonderful monsoon, and summer thunderstorm season has been pretty darn good over in our neck of the woods in the lower central foothills. Our unofficial rain gauge has been about just under 5 inches in the last couple of weeks. So the much-needed rain has come at least to our place, but then you go out to the airport where the official rain total is, and what it's like, less than 2 inches. But hopefully there's still more to come. Green Things is at River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It really is a beautiful sight, not only with all the green things, but Zocalo Village, five freestanding shops that they have labeled appropriately enough, Zocalo Village, some beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The owners of Green Things, Jan and Jack, are just back from another buying trip down. I think they were down in Mexico City in Oaxaca. They brought back some real treasures. GreenThingsAZ.com, the website, and ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Father Robert Hendrickson is with us in studio. He is the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, and he is the Buckmaster Show contributor on faith and spirituality. And it is always great to see you, Father Robert, in studio for our summer edition.
Thank you so much, as always, and it's a joy to see you.
It is, for folks who have followed me on Facebook, and I've been very transparent about the last 9 weeks of my life, what I've gone through. I mean, taking a tumble on the first full day of vacation, May 17th, up in Alaska, and then breaking my arm just below the shoulder. It's been a real ordeal, and the good news is that the bone is healing up very nicely, and nature is doing what it's doing with remodeling, which is very good. But I'm telling you, Father Robert, hundreds of people, and if they're listening, any of them listening right now, a big thanks, because they have been praying that things would go in the right direction for me, and they are going in the right direction. So, as far as I'm concerned, the power of prayer has been at work in my life.
Well, it is always a huge gift to know that somebody is praying for you. It's you know, one of those, when you meet people in your life, or you have people in your life who say, even in a sort of quick way, I'll be praying for you.
Yeah, you
it
hear
makes
it.
A difference, and,
yeah.
And you can tell that it's there's something about their desire for your healing that is a gift. And there's also something about knowing that those people are out there sort of caring for you when they can't be with you physically. It's a huge gift.
The power of prayer. The power of prayer, Father Robert, isn't necessarily in the words you utter. Would you agree with that?
I would. I mean, there's a book about by a priest who talks about caring for someone who couldn't speak and was quadriplegic, and he spent years as a chaplain to this young man. And he talks about the sort of earnestness of the prayers of this young man who couldn't speak and could barely move his eyes. And yet he radiated this sense of connection with the divine. I don't believe it's the words. The words form the lattice work for us to build a life of prayer. So most of us need some sort of words, images, something on which we can hang our intentions. And that's what the words become. They become that way of using language to shape our hopes, our intentions, our desires, our negligences, where we have fallen short. So we can use those things as a latticework and as a foundation to build a life of prayer, which really just means a life of constant awareness of God's presence in our lives, and that's the real focus of it. And there's a writer who says that there are only really two prayers in life: thank you and please. You know, yes. So, ultimately,
yes.
The challenge over time is that most of us begin a life of prayer with really, really focused on the please part. We really want to say, can you help me get a new job? Can you help me? Heal, you say get hurt. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are deeply painful prayers. Can you help mm-hmm. me get over a loss? Can you help mm-hmm. me get over a divorce? I mean, mm-hmm. things that are sort of deep in our core. And what we sometimes find is that those prayers don't seem immediately answered.
Right. And if those prayers are not immediately answered, they don't materialize for whatever reason, it would not be that hard for somebody who's making those prayers to suddenly turn their back on God.
Absolutely. And it's a bit like, if you were, at a vending machine and shoved in 75 cents and it didn't give you a ho-ho, you sort of get mad, right?
Yeah.
You don't come
yeah.
back to that vending machine.
Yeah.
But what God's challenging us to, I think, always is not, I will give you this thing in exchange for you praying. The challenge for us is to, how do you move from please, 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 give, to thank you, thank you, thank you? How do you move to a place of constant gratitude for all the blessings of this life? It's enormously challenging. There are so many things in our lives, personal lives, corporate lives, community life, that are sort of militating against gratefulness, militating against it. And I use the word militating intentionally. There's almost a sort of mobilized effort to keep us from being grateful, thankful, appreciative, all those things. You think about every single ad in your life is based on the insufficiency of your life. Every advertisement you see, mm-hmm. we see thousands of them a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so just
And you
that
should
alone,
know, by the way, because that used to be your career. As head of marketing for Brooks Brothers, your job, Father Robert, at that time was to sell stuff to people and make them feel like they really need this product.
Absolutely. So my
Sorry
job was
to
say,
you
no,
but
it's
you're
okay.
really speaking from authority when it comes to this area. Go
Thank
ahead.
You. No, no.
Go ahead.
My job was to say, you either don't look rich enough, smart enough, or handsome enough to
right.
get what you need in your life.
There you go.
Which is now I have to do this to atone for that work.
Yeah.
The challenge is when you have all those messages about sort of the insufficiency or scarcity in our lives, it makes it enormously difficult to appreciate just how great a gift breathing is, being alive is, being connected is. It's the reason that something, when there's some mass tragedy like we all experienced together, let's go back 20 years, 9/11, mm-hmm. churches were packed because people realized suddenly that we were connected. We couldn't take life for granted. The things we thought made us secure were really not that secure, and we needed to go deeper. And so, there's a challenge for us all, I think, to reach deeper into that place of a sense of gratitude. And when we can do that, and you can think about this in your own life, when we do that, it's the moment when we're most at peace. And it is not if A then B, because if I'm at peace then I'll be grateful. But I think those things are switched. I think when the more we cultivate gratitude, the more peaceful our lives become, the more a sense of connection we get. The Lord's Prayer, I think, for in the Christian tradition, sort of gives us, I think, the pattern for this. Sort of we acknowledge God, we acknowledge our relationship with God in that prayer, sort of our Father, that immediately sets up a kind of intimacy of relationship with the divine that most of us don't think about from day to day. You acknowledge, your place in relationship to God in mm-hmm, heaven, mm-hmm. And then we ask, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May mm-hmm. may our experience of the world around us come to look like what you experience in heaven. And then you get to that shift in it, which is give us this day our daily bread. And the shift is not give me what I need or give me what I want. Mm-hmm. The shift is give me the things sufficient for me to make it to the next day, mm-hmm. right? So, the word daily in that particular passage in Luke is the only place it's used in Scripture.
Really?
And it implies a day-to-day sufficiency,
sure. yeah.
right? It implies this, that what I need yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's this idea of my continued existence is rooted in you.
It's not saying make me a millionaire.
It's saying thank you.
Get me through. Right. To the next dawn.
Get to the next thing, which yes. is in response to this gratitude, I want to note where I have gone wrong in my life. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So there's this intimate link between being grateful and recognizing where our ungratefulness has caused us to err with other people. One of the ways I do first confessions with young people is I will often use the Lord's Prayer as a way to help them think about sort of how to make a confession. And one time I was, you know, and I have to quiz them about the vocabulary. So I'll say, you know, what do you think, what does trespass mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean in this passage? I'll never forget one time I asked someone, well, what does trespass mean? The response was to walk on someone's heart without their permission.
Mm.
Right, and so there's this recognition that so often in our lives we are mm-hmm. thoughtless and we stomp into places we're not meant to walk, mm-hmm. And what that prayer and so much of prayer calls us back to is an awareness of what our actions, where they come from, what they cause, their impact, and so all that is bound up in gratitude. We're grateful for what we have and thoughtful about the way we use those gifts in the world around us. We don't just trespass needlessly, and when we do. We ask for forgiveness for that.
Where does the Lord's Prayer first appear? I mean, where did that?
Well, it's the prayer that Jesus gives us. So, in Luke, when the disciples ask, "Well, how should we pray?" He said, "Well, here's how you should pray." Mm-hmm. That's why it's called the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
And so he gives us that model, and I like it because I think that for Christians, it is prayer in its simplest form.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're acknowledging God.
Yeah.
You're acknowledging what
it covers
your relationship.
So much ground.
It covers a lot of ground.
In
yeah.
very few words.
It's like the Gettysburg Address yes. of Scripture, right?
Yeah,
it
there
covers
you go.
A lot. And,
all right. Stick around, Father Robert. We're going to take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. We'll be back with Father Robert Hendrickson talking about the power of prayer. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. One of our great sponsors is Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over there looking for a little weekend getaway. It's only about a three-hour drive. There is so much to do over there. If you're an outdoors person, like to do some hiking, the Gila National Wilderness, which, by the way, is America's first national wilderness, has greened up beautifully. I'm told it's looking like Ireland over there right now, so it'd be a great time to plan a trip over to Silver City. And when you're in Silver City, go up and visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, one of America's first national monuments that goes all the way back to the Teddy Roosevelt presidency. More things to see and do. You can find out all about it at southwestnewmexico.org. Our contributor on faith and spirituality is Father Robert Hendrickson, who is the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, a place where I worship and always look forward to seeing Father Robert in studio. And we're talking about the power of prayer. Do you think that the earliest kind of the cave dwellers, do you think they prayed in their own way, Father Robert?
I do. I mean, you can look at sort of, some of the really quite elaborate sort of cave drawings that they found now in places. And now they're using this kind of amazing laser technology where they're finding huge, vast ruins all over the world. And it's amazing the percentage of those early ruins that seem to be devoted to temples in some way or another, some places of reflection, gathering, prayer. And so I think there's something deeply encoded for lack of a better sort of shared DNA.
Of the human experience.
Absolutely, of the human experience, yeah.
Prayer is part of it.
I think so, and I think that perhaps you could even think of this in a sort of evolutionary terms if you want to. There's something about being drawn together with a sense of connection to a higher power that I think we're built for. We're built to share that experience together, that experience of awe and wonder. I think we're built for it.
Is prayer a part of, is it a centerpiece of most religions, or maybe all of them?
I think so. I mean, certainly you think about sort of anywhere you go, and in fact, it's often striking to go to other parts of the world. You sort of go, we were in southern China and getting ready to drive up a particularly sort of perilous kind of road. And I had just assured my wife, I said, they've really repaired this road. It's not nearly so harrowing as it used to be. And so we get to the beginning of the road, and the driver gets out, goes to a roadside shrine, makes a little sacrifice, leaves a little bottle of Chinese wine, and says a prayer. And I said, well, maybe it's not as secure as I thought that road was. But and you go to the Middle East, and you hear the call to prayer five times a day. I think all the traditions have sort of robust prayer life in them. In our own tradition, in the Episcopal Church, we have in our Book of Common Prayer, morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, and Compline, so four sort of main services a day. And that our prayer book was built with the assumption that that's what people would do in their homes. So there's a certain kind of monasticism of all believers that's assumed. Now, that's an ideal. I don't think most people live that out. I often encourage people, if you can't quite get to the point where you're saying five services a day, perhaps what you could do is get to the point where you pick one verse of scripture, just one line, that you hold on to for each portion of the day. So, for example, I almost inevitably in the morning when I see the sun will say one of the lines from Isaiah, sort of, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you. It's one of my favorite sort of sentences in scripture, frankly. And so, if you can find a couple of those things that for you are real, tethers, I think that can be an important way to have that same sort of sanctification of time, that sort of awareness of the holiness of all of your life. And if you can find a way to sort of root that, it enables us to grow into a deeper and deeper awareness of our blessedness, and then how can we be a blessing to other people?
Did prayer become a pathway for you to return to your relationship with God? Because for folks who have heard you before on our show, it's no secret that you had turned your back on religion and on God. You were pretty angry at the time. Was prayer a pathway out of darkness for you?
For me, this is where the kind of liturgical patterns of a church like the Episcopal Church or the Catholic Church, the Orthodox, are important, because there's a structured way of worshiping and praying that even when your mind can't quite get around what you're trying to say, your body and your spirit and your soul pick up the reflexes of adoration. So even when you can't cognitively sort of do something, your body gains the instinct for it. So for me, it was about entering into the patterns of prayer of the church. And then those patterns slowly and surely sort of drew out of me, I think, a sort of what I would call a kind of more spontaneous, a deeper relationship with God through that.
The return to services, it was a very difficult year. I'd like you to talk a little bit about how that has worked, specifically where you are the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills.
Well, we are sort of in that awkward phase that many places are, where we are we are in meeting in person. We have some services where we require masks, some where we don't. We have coffee hour, but there's social distancing. So we're in that place where, we've probably made no one 100% happy, which probably means we're doing it right.
That's right.
And I think many churches are sort of, they're muddling along. For me, as I watch things like the news about the Delta variant, and there's no vaccine for kids, it's a tenuous balance of sort of acknowledging that we want to all get back to to normalcy as soon as possible, and doing everything we can to get there, and also recognizing that there are unknowns in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had talked in the past about kind of a hybrid where you would have, because from the video presentations of your services to now in person, are you doing kind of a mix?
We are, yeah. So we have
that
services.
Is that now part of doing business now?
I assume so. I would assume that most churches will find that is a valuable piece that maybe they didn't have before. Mm-hmm. I know for us, we have a lot of folks who are traveling, who are, during the summers they go away.
Sure.
And being able to remain connected to your home religious community, I think for many people is going to be more than a luxury. It's going to feel like a lifeline for them.
Getting back and to our topic of prayer, and we began this session by talking about people will say, I'll pray for you. And many times maybe people just sort of say that, but if you are going to say, I'll pray for you, it doesn't take a lot, does it? It can be just a couple of thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think just a couple of thoughts,
yes.
There's something lovely about that just almost reflexive action where you're sort of like, God, I hope that Bill gets better, right? There's something quite lovely and honest and earnest about that.
I like to hear that.
Right.
I like to hear that. All right, Father Robert, thank you very much. And where can people find out more about St. Philip's?
StPhilipsTucson.org. Mm-hmm.
And you're a very welcoming church.
We do try to be.
Well, with you running things, you are very much so. Thank you very much. Always good to see Father Robert. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. Back at it tomorrow at 12:04. Hope you'll be with us. And, of course, there's BuckmasterShow.com for all of our podcasts. On behalf of Father Robert and John Couch on the other side of the glass, all of us hope you have a great afternoon.